Welcome, Hog fans, inside the Basketball Palace of Mid-America. We're at Bud Walton Arena for the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton with Whole Hog Sports, joined by Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. How you doing today, Scotty?
Pretty good. I've gotten some enjoyment out of trying to find the fun fact on Montana State.
Oh, yeah.
Couple of minutes.
We try to find some interesting tidbits about some of Arkansas's lesser-known opponents, and we got some doozies for Montana State, but we'll get to that later.
I'll jump the gun.
We'll tease that. So stay tuned for these fun facts about Montana State later in the broadcast. But to start off, we're going to recap Indiana. Arkansas, big win over Indiana. I think, you know, it was fun for the fans to get to experience a game like that and get to experience a win. I think down the road that win is going to be big because Indiana had four guys out with injury. They're still a good team without those guys. When they get him back, I mean, I would expect Indiana to be a top 25 team by the end of the season.
You can't tell me Indiana's not a top 25 team. They come into one of the toughest places to play in college basketball, and they're without arguably their second best player for a majority of the first half with foul trouble. And Romeo Langford really looked like a lottery pick. The whole day was just kind of incredible because you got Daniel Gafford going for 27, 12, and three blocks. He had a monster game, and Romeo Langford had had 22 and 10 rebounds. I didn't see that kind of flew under the radar the other day too. He had a double double.
Yeah,
he had a double double too. The whole day it was kind of remarkable. You can't tell me Indiana's not a top 25 team just because those tip ins right at in the last few seconds of game, just because the ball doesn't bounce one way and it bounces a few inches the other way. Indiana's not a top 25 team. It's ridiculous. They're going to be really good. That's a resume win for Arkansas. I know it's really early in the year, but that's when you need to start. I mean, you got to start building your resume at some point.
Yeah.
And November's a pretty good time to do it. You catch a team before they're rolling, I guess. But Indiana was playing really well before they came here Sunday. But Arkansas's defense was really good again. I think if not for that, then I don't think Arkansas's got a chance to win it late. So props to a young team for learning from the Texas game and finding a way to pull that one out.
And it's like Daniel Gafford said in the post game interview the other day that it was a team win because yes, he went above and beyond what he normally does, had a career high 27 points.
Mm-hmm.
But like you mentioned, the just the all around defensive effort of the entire team. You know, they don't win without forcing, 18 turnovers.
Right.
From Indiana.
And not to cut you off, but I've got this file on my laptop. I've gone back, I think, five or six seasons, and I've got the offensive and defensive efficiency numbers from each game, and I've broken down by the month per year, or by the month and by the year for the last 5 years. Arkansas has got a chance. This team has a chance to be the best defense Mike's had in the first month of the season, like the last five or six seasons.
Wow.
They're on pace for that. You know, you still got two games to go, but if that trend continues, I mean, you got Montana State. I don't know who they are really.
Yeah,
and UT Arlington. I mean, if you see any semblance of what Arkansas has done the first three games, then they're gonna crush that previous mark for November deficiency number or defensive efficiency numbers in the first month of the season. They're playing the lights out.
Yeah, and for the past few years, Mike has talked about how he wants to be a defense first team, but you just never saw it on the court.
So many guys that were offensively minded.
Yeah, and now it seems like he finally has a group of guys that are buying into what he's been trying to do for really the past at least 3 years,
Yep.
Because when you had Macon and Barford, yeah, they're great players, but defensive liabilities.
Those are both guys that that could go for 20 or 25 apiece each night. They're not known for stepping into passing lanes, deflecting passes, and they would do some of that. Jalen would block shots, and Daryl would have his nights where he would step in and take charges. I mean, that was seldom that it happened, but these guys are in tune on defense and playing really connected. So I think that's why you're seeing Arkansas playing two Power Five teams early in the year, and they're right there in both of them, and got a win in one.
And with such a young team, I don't think anybody expected them to be this far along at this point in the season.
Offense still has a ways to go. Offense isn't great by any means. I mean, the three-point shooting has been a little bit up and down, I guess. Isaiah Joe probably had his first struggle in his college career, but yeah, he went three for 11 the other day. But he's kept shooting. Like, it's not like he's losing confidence. And Mason Jones is 1 for 4 and didn't shoot it. Arkansas is 6 at 23, which isn't great. Just 26%. But that'll come. Offense still has a ways to go, but like I said, we could talk about the defense forever. It's keeping them in games right now.
And one of the things that I think will continue to get the offense going is a guy like Mason Jones getting 7 assists in a game with 0 turnovers. He had a huge game.
Yeah, me and you were sitting in here the other night after the game, just finishing up our work, and Mike Kaywood comes in, and I wanted to write about Mason's. I thought he was – you know, Daniel did his thing. He was dominant, and I think he was like 9 of 10 from the floor in the second half, and just he was a monster. And then he put Arkansas back up 3 different times after Indiana took a lead, which is just, I mean, the kid's gassed, and he's still giving you everything he's got, and he's still putting buckets on your head on offense too.
Oh yeah.
But Mason played really well. 11 points, 5 boards, and 7 assists. And I looked it up, and I think he's the first Arkansas player since like January 2012 that's played 35 or more minutes, had seven assists without a turnover. And so that's, I mean, you're talking about nearly 7 years since an Arkansas player's done that. And he did it in his third game here. So he's kind of shown you that, you know, he scored 21, is the career high. Against UC Davis, rebounded the ball well. I think he had eight rebounds in that game too. His rebounding has been solid. And, you know, he came into the game the other day. I think he only had 5 assists to 6 turnovers. And then a game like he had Sunday, now his assist to turnover ratio is 2 to 1. It's kind of crazy how it can just flip like that. But he's been really good. He was such a good late find for Arkansas. And you don't know where Arkansas would be without him right now. He made some big shots in that Texas game, even though they lost.
Right.
He still hit some big shots in that one too. So he's been a really good early surprise for Arkansas.
Yeah, and you can tell Mike is really satisfied with him. Mason led all players in minutes. He had 38 minutes in the game on Sunday. You don't normally see that with a Mike Anderson team.
You really
a guy playing that many minutes.
No, you don't. And you saw the bench played pretty well in the first half. I think they scored all. They ended up with 13 points. Off the bench the other day. I think all those came in the first half. But Mason's a guy, he can do a little bit of everything. Like he could bring the ball up if you asked him to. He can shoot it, rebound, and obviously find guys. Think Mike just really likes his basketball IQ. And one of the funnier things that Mike said the other day, and Daniel kind of echoed it, that Mason's been kind of turning the ball over a lot in practice.
Yeah.
And Mike was like, oh, I think I'm going to give him an apple turnover. He's giving the ball away so much in practice. But I had to write about his floor game the other night. He was really good and making good decisions right now, and we didn't see that. I think he had 4 turnovers in the first game against Texas. They had the really costly turnover, and they were up 3. He tried to throw the ball to Daniel at half court against the full court pressure when they're up 3.
Yeah.
Just wasn't a great decision. He dribbled the ball off his foot once and off Daniel's once for turnovers. Just kind of careless, but he's made up for it the last couple of nights. He's played really well, and all the more reason to keep him on the floor, I guess, if he can keep his energy.
And I don't think anyone expected this, but Arkansas beats Indiana on a free throw.
Yeah.
With as poorly as they've shot free throws pretty much all year, Mason Jones wins the game with a well-timed free throw, and then just a great miss.
Stuck his nose in there and grabbed a pretty big rebound, too, instead of leaking out for what could have potentially been probably a game-winning layup. He went in there and just grabbed the ball away. And Archie Miller thought it was a 50-50 call. Mason said he got hit in the face. You know, I saw a screenshot from Indiana's website. They said that Mason grabbed the ball and one of their players' arms, which led to the foul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. I don't know what replay they saw, but Mason's playing really well right now, so good for him.
Well, and you know, yeah, we get it. There's 2.5 seconds left. They're fighting for the ball, but Jones had the ball, and they're still slapping at him and swiping at him. I mean, how do you not call that?
I don't know.
And, you know, I think Indiana took the shot too early. They should have taken – I forget who it was that drove, but he drove with like 7 seconds left on the clock. And then you see that tip that just –
That thing hung on the rim for, it seemed like, a second and a half or 2 seconds.
Half an inch the other way, and Indiana probably wins the game.
Yeah.
But Mason Jones gets the rebound with over 3 seconds left. You know, they go to overtime if they wait a couple more seconds, mm-hmm. you know. So I understand where Indiana fans are coming from. We've been there, but kind of hard to blame the officials for
the ending of that one, and just the way that the ball kind of hung up on the rim, and you're just like, how did those shots not go in? Kind of reminded me of Oklahoma State last year when they had like two or three point-blank shots at the rim.
The end of the game?
Just almost like the ghost of somebody who died was like sitting on the rim, just like, you're not going in. Like, it's kind of amazing. Just and that's happened. It always happens on the far end from where we're sitting. It's kind of nuts.
Right.
It's kind of nuts how that happens.
Yeah, Bud Walton has ghosts.
The ghosts. I think
it's haunted. But if they're helping out the Razorbacks, they won't object too much to that.
Mm-hmm.
So Arkansas is a winner over Indiana, 73-72. Going to be a big win. And like we said earlier, as far as resume builders, this was one of the last ones you have non-conference. If you don't count Texas Tech later in the season, you know.
Yeah. You got Georgia Tech and maybe Western Kentucky too. Western Kentucky will be solid. Georgia Tech, you don't really know much about them at this point. But there's a couple more chances, and you got to go to Colorado State. But,
right.
I mean, other than that, like, these games that you got coming up against the schools of the blind and the deaf, like.
Yeah, you got a couple tune-up games. You know, of course. Coaches all say every game's the same and every game's important, yada, yada, yada. But these next two, they should be tune-up games.
Sure.
And, yes, UT Arlington almost did beat Arkansas 2 years ago, but this is not the same UT Arlington team. That team was pretty good. They almost made the tournament.
I guess I don't even remember that game.
I think that was the maybe one of the only games in Anton Beard's career where he won the game for Arkansas.
Oh, nice.
I think he had – it was a tight game. Down the stretch, I think Anton Beard had something like 6 points in the final 90 seconds or something like that. He had like a couple big threes.
He's the closer.
Yeah, so that was also the game where UT Arlington got up on Arkansas, I think like 25-7 in the first half in Bud Walton. And everyone's saying, is Arkansas going to lose to UT Arlington?
Right. And
they nearly did. That was a close game. But like we said, this is not that same UT Arlington. That was a good UTA team. But before UT Arlington, Arkansas was playing Montana State out of Bozeman, the Bobcats, in Bud Walton Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, SEC Network. Montana State is not a good team. I think Kim Pom rates them like 336 or something like that. It's bad.
I think so. And they're giving up over 110 points per 100 possessions, which is 341st, 353 teams in college basketball, which is not great. I mean, they gave up 100 to Utah State. They scored 35 points against Indiana.
Yeah.
They beat Presentation, which it's right there on my screen. They beat Presentation by 15.
Maybe that's supposed to be Presbyterian or something.
I mean,
it's a typo. I don't know.
They played Colorado State pretty tight. At Colorado State, they lost there by 4. Arkansas's got to go there a little bit later in the schedule.
It's kind of an interesting outcome there.
Yeah, they lost to UC Santa Barbara too. But you look at their KenPom page, dude. It's just dark red, just all over their offensive defensive columns. They're giving up 62%. Giving up 62% defensively on 2-point shots, which is atrocious.
Yeah.
They hardly ever take the ball away. They block like under 4% of opponent shots, and I mean this might be ugly. Like this might be a game where Arkansas scores 100 points with ease. Like if everything's rolling, and that is if Arkansas doesn't. I'm just looking at your screen. You got the fun fact pulled up. But, yeah, like if Arkansas gets rolling and they don't, like, look ahead to – they don't start looking ahead to Thanksgiving dinner and playing UT Arlington on Friday. Like, this is a game where you can put up a lot of points and you can see some growth, maybe some of those bench players. I know you play 2 games in 3 days, your bench is going to be big anyway, or it's going to have to be. So you're not playing a guy like Mason 38 minutes
right.
in a game like this. So,
and Mike said we will see the return of Jordan Phillips tomorrow yep. night, which would be big for depth. And it's a perfect game for him to, you know, kind of get accustomed to the speed of the game and get into a rhythm with the other guys who've already got a few games under their belt. Yeah. But we promised the listeners a couple of fun facts. So we were doing a little research on Montana State and looking at some of their notable alumni. Maybe one of the all-time great names in college football. They had an alumnus that played there in the 20s named Frosty Peters that actually played a few seasons in the NFL, but just a bizarre kind of Wikipedia entry for this guy. He specialized in drop kicks. He once had converted 17 drop kicks in one game.
He was Doug Flutie before Doug Flutie thought about being Doug Flutie.
But
I think Doug Flutie was like the last dude to like try a drop kick in a NFL game, I think. So Frosty was ahead of his time.
Frosty Peters. That was probably the best name that we found on Montana State's.
I'm a child page. Too, so I have a mind of a 12-year-old. So like I saw that name, I was like, Blake, you got to click on that. We got to find out more about our boy Frosty.
Yeah. Oh well, and listen to this. He attended the George Barr Umpire School in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
How about that?
Wow, that's
treated himself to some of the bathhouses, I'm sure.
Yeah, with a name like Frosty, I bet he was pretty popular in a place like Hot Springs.
Probably so.
Seemed like a real Renaissance man. Played professional football, professional baseball. Just pretty cool alumnus for Montana State. There are other fun fact, not as great of a name, but former faculty. This one really surprised me. Bill Pullman used to teach theater at Montana State. Bill Pullman, of course, was the president in Independence Day. Also played Lone Star in Spaceballs, and taught theater at Montana State. So pretty interesting.
What a school!
Yeah, what a school, the Montana State Bobcats out of Bozeman. But they don't have a good basketball team, and so Arkansas should, like you said, score 100 easily. They could win this game by 40, I think. If they felt like it, they can kind of name their score in this one.
Yeah, I mean, if you're – golly, you gave up – you only scored 83 points on a presentation.
I've never heard of that.
I don't know what presentation – see, you can't even click on their – name on KenPom. So,
must be a mistake.
I mean, they're coming in 1-4. Let's see. They scored – they lost 80-35
to Indiana.
Their win probability in that game just looks like a flat line. I don't know. I don't know how Montana State got wrapped up in this hardwood showcase, but God bless them.
It is an interesting thing that they're doing so that Arkansas will have all these common opponents and they can kind of, not that you would use the transitive property in college basketball, but they can get a sense of some of these other teams that they're going to play. Like Montana State already playing Indiana and Colorado State, who Arkansas is going to play pretty soon. So, pretty cool thing that they're doing.
They when they played Indiana, they finished 3 of 26 from three. So they're probably going to let the three fly quite a bit. They had a guy go 1 for 8. They had two guys go 0 for 4. One guy go 2 for 9. So they're not going to be afraid to let it fly. So Arkansas will have to be. They'll have to at least be aware that they're gonna let those shots go. So Arkansas defended the three pretty well. I think Indiana shot like 8 out of 20 the other day, which isn't terrible by any means, but isn't terrible defense for Arkansas. Like I think you might live with that. Yeah. Their 2-point defense has been so strong, but yeah, Arkansas should roll in this one and go get their bellies full on Thursday and come back for UT Arlington.
Heck yeah. Hey, speaking of getting our bellies full, happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. We will have full coverage of Arkansas's game Wednesday against Montana State, 7 o'clock SEC Network. We'll have live updates, post-game press conferences, all that good stuff. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We're with Whole Hog Sports, and this is the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. Thanks for listening.